One Asian airline company has recently moved bathrooms and kitchens on a few of its new A330neos. The main purpose of such a restructuring is to cram in a record 460 seats. That's 20 more than before. There's a new tendency, in Asia in particular, to stuff more passengers into the aircraft that fly the most popular routes. Of course, customers are less than happy with this development, but it does help the aviation industry. For example, in Asia, more than 100 million people fly for the first time every year. And the cramming in strategy is helping low-cost carriers serve those travelers who care more about price than comfort. But the most popular tactic to fit more people in a jet is bolting in more chairs. For example, one European low-cost carrier ordered several modified aircraft from Boeing Company in 2014. They all had 8 more seats than normal. In 2017, another airline carrier started adding an extra seat into each economy row of its Boeing 777-300s. It cost each passenger an inch of personal space. These days, less legroom is the new normal. In the early 2000s, rows in economy class were 34 to 35 inches apart. Now, a distance of 30 to 31 inches is a regular occurrence. As for short flights, rows can be a mere 28 inches apart. Well, to get the maximum number of people on board, airlines have to sacrifice something. And in this case, it's your comfort. But at least you can improve the situation by spending some money and upgrading for more legroom. You wouldn't have been able to buy additional comfort during the flight if you had traveled by plane in the 1920s. Aircraft of that time shook a lot and were loud, cold, and unpressurized. Air travel was often slower than traveling by train. Plus, it was only possible during the day. Planes could hold no more than 20 passengers and reached a cruising altitude of 3,000 feet. For comparison, these days, airplanes usually cruise at an altitude of more than 30,000 feet. The average speed of an airplane at that time was around 100 miles per hour, and they had to make frequent stops to refuel. Flight attendants appeared only in the 1930s. That's when traveling by plane got a bit more comfortable. The service was better than in the previous decade. Plus, airplanes had been developed and improved. They became soundproofed and heated. The seats got upholstered. They could now fly way higher at around 13,000 feet. It reduced turbulence and allowed planes to move twice as fast. The first pressurized commercial airplane appeared in 1938. The 1950s are often called the golden age of air travel. Flying at that time wasn't cheap. A round trip from Chicago to Phoenix could easily cost today's equivalent of $1,168. For a one-way flight to Europe, you would have to pay more than $3,000 in today's dollars. At the same time, it was a lavish experience. Passengers showed up for their flights dressed up and could enjoy in-flight meals that included prime rib and lobster. With time, flying became more and more common. In the 60s, passengers stopped dressing up as much as before. People could fly without any form of ID. They could just arrive at the airport half an hour before the departure and go straight to the gate, often together with their loved ones who came to see them off. Security screening became mandatory only in the early 1970s because bigger flights also meant more passengers. The jumbo jet, aka the Boeing 747, made air travel more affordable for millions of travelers. Airlines could now transport large numbers of passengers, and they started selling tickets at more reasonable prices. At that time, there was still plenty of legroom, and flight attendants had enough time to cater to every passenger's needs. From 1970 to 1974, American Airlines even featured a piano lounge in the rear of its 747. In the 1980s, you could check as many bags as you wanted. Meals were always included, and you could visit the cockpit during the flight. There, children were given a wing pin to remember the experience. In the 1990s, people saw in-flight entertainment for the first time. And 20 years later, in the 2010s, passengers started to expect the same conveniences they were used to having on the ground. For example, they wanted private touchscreen TVs and USB chargers in every seat. And on many flights, they got it. But at the same time, some airlines began to introduce extra fees for literally everything, from carry-ons to seat assignments. Free meals also turned into a rarity. There's also a tendency nowadays for airplane seats to become less and less comfortable. And there's a reason for that. Surprise, surprise, it has to do with airlines trying to make more money. Plane seats themselves are designed in a certain way, which often makes it unpleasant to sit on them for long periods of time. The main issue is that the seats need to be light. It can help avoid high fuel consumption. Airlines design seats to weigh as little as possible to fly planes more cheaply. And how can you make a plane seat lighter? Right, by using less padding. Together with the decreasing legroom and seat width, it makes flying long distances quite uncomfortable. Plus, plane seats are made to be both lightweight and strong and fire retardant. So they usually have an aluminum frame and some kind of urethane foam attached to it. Some seats even have Kevlar in them. All this is covered with leather, which is used to make seats look nicer. It also allows flight attendants to clean up spills easily. When choosing a seat on a plane, you should keep in mind a number of important moments. If you often get motion sickness, pick a seat over the wing. This way, you'll feel less turbulence. If you have a short connecting time, opt for a seat in the front. If you're traveling with somebody, pick a window and an aisle seat in the back of the plane. Unless the flight is sold out, the chance is high that the middle seat between you will remain unoccupied. If you're planning to sleep during your flight, go with a window seat. If you feel you might need easy access to the bathroom during the flight, pick an aisle seat towards the back of the aircraft. And if you need to have a small bag with you during the flight, avoid picking a bulkhead seat. They usually don't have anywhere to store your carry-on other than the overhead bins. Oh, and speaking of your luggage, while packing your bag, try to use all the space available to you. It's a great idea to put small items like socks or a swimsuit inside your shoes. Pack your scarf and belt into your handbag. If you're going to travel with a backpack, put the heaviest items at the bottom. Also, try to roll everything. This way, your clothes will take up less space and will wrinkle less. When going on a trip, leave your large wallet at home. Instead, put all your essentials like your passport or cash into a small container or even a toiletries bag. You can also use a mint tin to keep your credit cards and money. Put everything inside, then cover it with a piece of paper and fill the tin with mints. Now, you've got the perfect hiding spot. Take a picture of everything that you've packed in your bag before you go to the airport. This way, if your luggage is lost, you'll be able to make a claim with the airline or your insurance company by showing them the items that have been lost. It's bound to increase your chances of receiving compensation for your stuff. You may also consider printing out a copy of your boarding pass and putting it inside your suitcase. This way, if your suitcase gets lost, it will be easier for the airport workers to identify it.
That's it for today. So hey, if you pacified your curiosity, then give the video a like and share it with your friends. Or if you want more, just click on these videos and stay on the bright side.